Good morning. It is time to get up with Aaron Rodgers. His season over. His future very much in doubt. After another devastating defeat, could he have played his final game in Green Bay? Meanwhile, it may be the most intriguing Super Bowl matchup ever. The question is, what will it mean if the GOAT beats the kid? And Mel Kiper is here to debut his new mock draft. Wait until you see who isn't taking a quarterback in round one. You've got questions, we've got answers on this Tuesday morning as we get up with you. Greeny with you here from our studios at the Seaport in New York City, and we are jam-packed. Take a look at the crew that we have assembled for you today. The big Swagoo is here. Dan Graziano's got all the insight. I mentioned Mel's got his first mock up. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. And Jeff Saturday is handing out pancakes. All that and more as we get this thing rolling with Green Bay. After the Packers crushing loss to the Bucks Sunday, many are wondering what the future holds in Green Bay for quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who had cryptic comments after the game. In case you missed it, here was Adam Schefter on Get Up yesterday talking about Rodgers' future options.
He's under contract to the Green Bay Packers for three more seasons. So they control him for three more seasons. Unless Aaron Rodgers says, I'm not going to play there anymore and I want to be traded. It would take a huge set of cojones to do that. But if that's what he wants to do, that's what he's entitled to do. He didn't pick Green Bay. Green Bay picked him. And now he's at the point in his career with the way the NFL is set up that he can pick where he wants to go. And it may be Green Bay. It may be Green Bay.
So I've described myself on the radio as the Shefty Whisperer. And so I tell people all the time, he doesn't just say stuff. He's very measured about the things he will say. So if he's willing to say that, it is worth following. The big Swagoo is getting up with us this morning. Marcus Spears, do you think there's a real chance we have seen the last of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay?
Yes, I do, G. And I told you that before the damn season started, that he might want to get out. The first damn at the top of the show. But listen, G, this is all about what I hear. It's all about Aaron Rodgers' approach and attitude, especially in that presser. When he was it felt reflectionary. It felt like I got to go evaluate what I need to do. And one thing about Aaron Rodgers, one thing he said in that press conference about we all are kind of, we don't know our futures. That's a lie. Aaron Rodgers knows his future. His future is whatever he wants
That's
it to
right.
be. He's earned those stripes in the league. He's played enough good football that people will be willing to give away a lot to get him if he said he didn't want to play in Green Bay anymore. So I hear all of that stuff, G, and you know I like to decipher. We talked about Grunk the year before he retired. I said, G, it sounds real reflectionary. It sounds like he's talking in the past tense when it came to New England and playing football. Here we go again. Aaron Rodgers gave us some subliminal. I'm going to take it for what it's worth because the offseason is almost here and we need something like this to talk about. So Aaron Rodgers is in that mode of reflection when it comes to Green Bay, not when it comes to football.
All right, Jeff Saturday, if you're the Green Bay Packers, are you letting him get anywhere near the door?
Absolutely not. I mean, are you kidding me? You would be the dumbest organization in NFL history. I mean, you have the NFL MVP on your roster right now, and I don't care. Like Swagoo just said, there don't need to be any deciphering. Like his future is not uncertain. It's going to be either you're a Packer or you're retiring. Because if you let him go, whatever team he goes to is now a Super Bowl contender, possibly a favorite. Imagine if he went to Chicago, Greeny. Like, he's going to beat you down for the next 3 years, and you're going to get fired. The general manager will get fired. Mark Murphy, even though he's not an owner, they're going to make him can't be an owner anymore anywhere. Like, the whole thing is going to get blown up all because you did something stupid. Whatever you got to do to Aaron Rodgers, take him to the best golf course in the world and make him feel good about whatever you got to do. He was passive-aggressive. He held his tongue about the draft until post-game NFC Championship, and then he let it out, Greeny. You just got to let this thing die and move on with the best quarterback in the game right now. That's it. That's all you can do.
So, Dan Graziano, my insider, let me turn to you. It feels to me, and this is how I framed it yesterday on the radio, the Packers told Aaron Rodgers that his career in Green Bay was coming to an end with how they handled the draft last year. Now, maybe it's Rodgers' turn to tell them, okay, now I'll take care of the timing.
You told me it's starting to end. I'll tell you when we're going to do that. That feels reasonable to me. What do you think?
Yes. If the Packers get to decide, then Aaron Rodgers is on their team next year. That's their preference. Matt LaFleur, the head coach, made that clear after the game on Sunday. And Green Bay is not prepared to start Jordan Love in 2021. They want Aaron Rodgers for at least 1 year. But to Adam Schefter's point yesterday, if Aaron Rodgers is willing to force the issue, this becomes an interesting story because we're seeing this in the NFL more and more. It's kind of like what players have been doing in the NBA for years in terms of trying to exercise their leverage and demand to be able to pick their teams. We're seeing it with Deshaun Watson right now in Houston. He may be willing to sit out and force the Texans to trade him. If Aaron Rodgers is willing to sit out and force the Packers to trade him, then that becomes something that can happen. I mean, look, Adam used the word cojones, which is great. I mean, that it would take a lot, but Aaron Rodgers has made a lot of money and has a lot of status in the league. If he's looking at a landscape where, let's say he wants to go to the 49ers, right, his boyhood team, and he's worried they're going to trade for Deshaun Watson, and then next year, when the Packers do want to trade him, he can't go to the 49ers. Maybe now's the time to exercise that leverage and go there. So we'll see. It could just be a guy that was grumpy in the wake of a tough loss. We see that all the time. But he's measured in his words, and he knows the impact they have. So I don't think we just treat this as nothing.
We are going to talk about this a lot more. Brett Favre weighed in on it yesterday. You will hear what he had to say as we continue on Get Up. Meanwhile, on to our next order of business, and that is this. Tom Brady is going back to the Super Bowl for a 10th time at the age of 43. But this time, it comes as the quarterback of the Buccaneers, where he will take on the reigning Super Bowl MVP, Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs. Now, these two quarterbacks, Brady and Mahomes, they've met four times before. Those meetings have been ultra close. Their teams have split the matchups, each of them winning twice. One of them, of course, was the AFC Championship game that Brady won in overtime. Mahomes has arguably outplayed Brady in those meetings. You see some of the numbers that are there, but of course, those aren't the most important piece of this. And so, Jeff Saturday, let me start with this. People refer to Tom Brady as the GOAT. And I'm hearing a lot of people refer to Patrick Mahomes as the future GOAT, the next GOAT. When you hear that, Jeff, what do you think?
The dumbest thing people could say. The future GOAT? What does that even freaking mean? The future GOAT? You can't be the future. You're either the GOAT or you're not the GOAT. Like, there is no in between. There ain't no freaking future anything, bro. Like Tom Brady is going to go play in his 10th, man. 10th Super Bowl. He's about to play his 20th game of this season at 40-whatever years old he is. And this dude ain't slowing down, man. He has completely transformed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What he's doing is remarkable. And to kind of cast it away because you have a young kid who's playing lights out and put him in the same category, it's just disrespectful. That has nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes and his talent ability. But you ain't the GOAT, bro. Like, the GOAT is going to go out there. He'll go play his 10th Super Bowl. He's got rings on both hands. Like, go through whatever you want. 14, championship games, AFC and NFC. Like, there's too much. And by the way, 2 weeks ago, Mahomes got hurt again. Like to put somebody's career and fast forward it 20 years, I can't stand it. Like, the dumbest conversation you can have. You can say he's a great quarterback, best in the game right now. Don't talk about the GOAT nonsense until we get there.
What do you think of that, Swaggo?
I think old man Saturday woke up on the wrong side of the damn bed this morning. That's what I think. He is pissed off, and it's going to go down on Get Up this morning. All right, Jeff, gloves off. I see what we doing this morning, so let's do it. First of all, future GOAT means Patrick Mahomes is going to play well enough to be that guy at the end of his career. I get it. I understand. We in the same mindset. It's longevity. It's accomplishments. It's things that he needs to do. But based on what we're seeing, Jeff, this is his third AFC championship game. His third in the first 4 years. This is also his second Super Bowl. He's already a Super Bowl MVP from last year. So he's trending. Look, come with the times, Jeff Saturday. He's trending.
No, sir.
He's going viral
right now.
And it may last for a long time, but if it doesn't, that's fine. Patrick Mahomes has already done some tremendous things that no other quarterback has done at this point in their career when you talk about the shortness of what he's been doing. So I like it. I like GOAT, baby GOAT. GOAT, future GOAT. We always need somebody to do that to keep that thing going. Stop being so mad and pissed off, Jeff.
Jeff, can I just also point out that here you are singing the praises of Tom Brady? What has happened to you?
You traitor. You filthy animal.
Honest to God, this could not be more true. I literally hated Tom Brady in New England. Hated him. I wish they lost every game. And then all of a sudden, he went to Tampa Bay, and I root for him. And, my kids are rooting for him. My son's rooting for him. I'm like, I don't know what happened to me, man. I mean, I think that too long playing, too long in the NFL, something changed, man. Like, how do I go from a dude I hate to now a guy I pull for? I don't understand. It's the avocado ice cream that got me. Like, I need to get on that bus. I got to do whatever he's doing. I need to be more like Tom, TV12, whatever it is.
Graziano, what do you make of this?
Somewhere a tear is rolling down Bill Polian's face right now listening to Jeff Saturday talk like this about Tom Brady. But it's true. Look, Tom Brady had won the Super Bowl 3 times before Patrick Mahomes was even following the NFL. I mean, think about that. Patrick Mahomes never dreamed of being able to play against Tom Brady because he was in kindergarten the first time he won the thing. I mean, this is ridiculous. If you cut Tom Brady's career into even thirds, right? Like take a third of each. That's 3 Hall of Fame careers. This is inconceivable.
That's right.
Patrick Mahomes to come even close would be absolutely stunning. He is the greatest of this time. Tom Brady remains the greatest of all time.
Okay, that is fair.
It's
a reasonable way to put it. By the way, you're getting a call right now, Jeff Saturday. It's from Peyton Manning, and he's not happy. Okay, Graziano, let's run the hurry up here through some other sneaky big news for the Chiefs heading into the Super Bowl, and it's not good. What's the deal with Eric Fisher?
Yeah, left tackle Eric Fisher tore his Achilles in Sunday's game. Won't be able to play in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are already without their starting right tackle. Mitchell Schwartz hasn't played since week 6 because he's got a back injury. So that's two starting tackles against a team that sacked Aaron Rodgers 5 times on Sunday. Going to be really tough to keep Patrick Mahomes upright in the Super Bowl. Pittsburgh Steelers made a promotion on their staff yesterday, promoting quarterbacks coach Matt Canada to offensive coordinator. Why does this matter? Well, it could be a sign that the Steelers are expecting Ben Roethlisberger back in 2021. Continuity on the staff, a coach in Canada who has worked with Roethlisberger closely. It could be they're setting the stage to bring Roethlisberger back. Obviously, we've talked about the contract situation and how that would be affected if they had to do that. And there's one more, and I forget what I was supposed to talk about. I'm sorry.
Cole Beasley.
He broke his leg. He played with a broken leg. Cole Beasley said yesterday that he broke his leg, fractured his fibula in the Week 16 game, didn't play in Week 17, but played 3 playoff games. He said it's not going to require surgery, but think about that, Greeny. This guy played 3 playoff games with a fracture in his leg. Certainly no question about the toughness of a player like that.
Well, yes, I agree, but I think I have had a parallel experience this morning, and all kidding aside, I was putting together my scripts this morning, and I cut my hand pretty badly, and I'm not going to lie to you, it's bleeding a little bit, and yet here I am. I mean, I contemplated going home, but here I am doing the show.
With the grit and determination that you're showing.
That's the thing. It's Beasley-esque. All right. Meanwhile, moments ago, Mel Kiper Jr. released his first NFL mock draft for 2021. It is available for you right now on ESPN Plus, and there's no surprise at the very top. He's got the Jaguars taking Trevor Lawrence at number 1, giving the team a starting quarterback who many people just love. The next quarterback off the board is BYU's Zach Wilson. Mel has him going 4 overall to the Falcons, coming off a 4-12 season. And then speaking of quarterbacks, Justin Fields is next, the Ohio State QB. He has him going 7 overall to the Lions, where he would replace Matthew Stafford, who asked Detroit for a trade over the weekend. And overall, Mel has 5 quarterbacks going in the top 15, including Trey Lance to the Panthers at 8 and Mac Jones of Alabama to the Patriots at 15. You see the Heisman winner Devontae Smith at number 2 to the Jets. It's important to point out, as always, as we bring Mel Kiper Jr. into the conversation, that, Mel, you don't project trades. And that's obviously a big part of the conversation here. So I guess I would ask you, just as we start looking ahead, and we're a long way away, we talk about the draft sort of starting at number 2, because we all know Lawrence is going to go number 1. Do you believe the Jets are likely to trade that number 2 pick if they decide not to take the quarterback or a quarterback there?
I think if you don't take the quarterback there, Greeny, I think Devontae Smith certainly makes a lot of sense. Get a wide receiver with Smith's capability for Sam Darnold. And by the way, I did allow McShay as a late Christmas present to be able to project trade. So we are able to, Greeny, from now moving forward, if we so choose. I didn't, because I think it distorts your first-round mock. But I think when you look moving forward, I know Todd will probably do that. Todd will. But I think with the Jets, get Darnold some help. And I think Devontae Smith would be a great start. You have Denzel Mims, who you drafted last year in the second round. Now Devontae, who's as good as it gets coming out of the collegiate ranks. This guy is a tremendous worker. He's a tremendous talent. He's ready to roll in the National Football League right away. Sam Darnold didn't have a lot of help that last year at USC. It's been a shame what's been going on with the Jets. I think Joe Douglas' challenge now is to build that talent base up. If it's not Darnold, it's Watson. They draft a quarterback. They got a lot of options. I would stick with Sam Darnold.
Now, let me just quickly say that as one who lives and dies with your mock drafts, if the integrity of the mock is going to be influenced by these trades, it's going to take a lot of getting used to for a lot of us. I will just say that. That's something I'm going to take a long time to get used to. In the meantime, let's talk about Zach Wilson and Justin Fields. You have them both going in the top eight, we said. How close together are they? How fungible would you say is the difference between who goes second and who goes third amongst the quarterbacks?
Depends who you talk to in the NFL. I changed that about six times, Greeny, when I was doing that mock with Fields and Wilson flip-flopping. But Wilson had such a great year. I had one guy who said Fields, but he also said Wilson was spectacular all year. Fields had some, want to call them hiccups. Go to the Indiana game, the Northwestern game in particular there. Now, in the Northwestern game, he didn't have Chris Olave, but still, Wilson didn't have that hiccup. You go Coastal Carolina, he was good. He wasn't great, but he was good. So he didn't have that subpar game, and he can spin it like no other. Arm strength, release, athletic ability, got bigger, got stronger after having that shoulder surgery a couple years ago. So Zach Wilson right now, I think, has just a slight edge over Justin Fields to become the number two quarterback coming off the board.
All right, Mel, stay in, and we're going to have a lot with Mel today, but let me bring the rest of the crew in here, and we'll talk through some of this. And Graziano, I want to start with you, because Mel projecting the Falcons taking a quarterback at four is interesting because there are obviously questions about Matt Ryan, who has been there a really long time. Is what should we expect relative to Ryan and his future in or outside of Atlanta?
I don't think his future in Atlanta is very long. It may include 2021, but after that, it's murky. Look, new coach, new GM, new plan there in Atlanta, major salary cap issues that they have to work around. It's possible that they do find a trade partner for Matt Ryan this offseason and move on from him. It would require a significant dead money hit this year, but if that's something they're willing to do, if they get enough in return, they could consider it. But regardless of whether they do it this year or next, drafting a quarterback, a legitimate possibility for the Atlanta Falcons with that pick at number four. It may be that they have to trade up to get a guy like Zach Wilson, but I do think that's in play for them.
Okay, fair enough. So we see that as a possibility. Meanwhile, Jeff, I know there's something in this mock draft that didn't sit right with you. What was that?
Yeah, you know, we do a pancake session every Tuesday, Mel, and we also do another little thing. It's called Mel Kiper, You Are High. You want me to tell you why you have Fine. A receiver going two and three? We got no offensive lineman up here. Like, I don't know what's going on. Can we protect the guys that matter as opposed to going? Can't we get a bunch of receivers all the way down? We got Smith and Chase at two and three. Like, Mel, you are an O-line guy. Get back in. Hey, go back into the – scratch the board off, get it back fixed up, and let's make some hay. We got no O-line up here. I don't know what you're doing. I'm telling you, I think you've fallen in love with offense, but you got to make some changes, Mel. Make some changes. If I'm going to get hot. These kind of things drive me crazy early.
What do you think,
First
Mel?
First of all, Jeff, I'm high on life. High on life, okay, number one, okay? And in terms of being stuck in the 70s and 80s, Jeff, I think you are right now. You got to get into the 2000s and 2021 coming up, Jeff. It's not 1993 anymore, not 1977. I think if you look at what these receivers will be able to do right away, they will be spectacular. Go back to last year's draft, Jeff. It's not that 2-3 year transition for receivers like it used to. They're playing this in high school now, okay? They're ready to go to college and star. They're ready to go to the NFL and star. Just look at last year's draft for great examples of that in the first and second round and even beyond that.
I'm having a very good time. We are going to have Mel with us for a lot of this morning, and we'll continue to debate this as we go. I got 20 seconds here. Swagoo, what do you think? A receiver at two and a receiver at three. You good with it or not good with it?
I'm good with it. I see what Mel is saying. Now, I'm with Jeff. I would like Penei Sewell to protect Sam Darnold as opposed to getting him a weapon. I thought Perriman and Mims being back would make a difference. And it showed at the end of the season that they had some talent at wide receiver. But, Mel, if you want to put wide receivers up there, put the wide receivers up there. I don't know what the hell wrong with Jeff Saturday this morning.
We are going to continue to have an absolutely amplified Jeff Saturday as the morning continues. Let's roll here. We got so much still to come, including Michael Wilbon is going to stop by, spend a half hour with us, giving the show his perspective on Aaron Rodgers' future, among other things, as the Packer legend played his last game in Green Bay. And speaking of quarterbacks on the move, Deshaun Watson still wants out of Houston. There's the perfect landing spot, a team that passed on him 4 years ago. You got questions, we got answers. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, and happy anniversary, Desmond Howard. On this day in 1997, the Packers beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and Desmond Howard was the MVP. He took that kick back 99 yards for a touchdown. He had 244 total return yards and was named the MVP of Super Bowl 31. All right, coming up next, one legend will talk about another legend. Aaron Rodgers. Is it possible he's played his last game in Green Bay? Michael Wilbon stopping by to talk about that and a whole lot more. There he is. Michael is up early with us today, and he's live in just a moment. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and the performance of the night was turned in by LeBron James last night. He said it was the home cooking. Back in Cleveland, he had dinner at his mother's house the night before. They went out and dropped 46 last night. Look at him cooking early. Lakers up by 7, and that's LeBron with a 3, and he had 17 in the first quarter. Now he's the first play of the second quarter. Look at the dish. Little dime for Montrezl Harrell, who had 15 off the bench. LeBron 6 assists on the night. Lakers up 13. It was a good game. Fourth quarter, Lakers up by 2. LeBron turning defense into offense with the flush. He was 19 of 26. From the floor. Later, Cavs are down by 2. Colin Sexton. LeBron is there for the SWAT. They originally called this goaltending, but then they overturned that. Then it's LeBron from the logo. At that point, he had 36, and then he would eventually go out, step back 3, and he had 41. And then watch a little Bernard King baseline action here. LeBron James, 21 points in the fourth quarter, 46 points on the night. The Lakers are 10-0 on the road this year as they knock off the Cavs. 115-108 in scoring that season high. LeBron becomes the oldest Laker with a 40-point game since Kobe Bryant scored 60 in the last game of his career. The 46 are tied for the fourth most points ever by a player after turning 36 years old. But that, of course, turns our attention to that man. Today is the one-year anniversary of the tragic death of Kobe Bryant. It was Sunday, January 26th of last year, when Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter Gianna and 7 others were killed in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California. The days and weeks that followed were marked with emotional outpourings of grief and appreciation from around the world as people celebrated the life and the legacy of one of the greatest players of all time and one of the great legends as well. And we thought that to begin our conversation about that today, we would bring in our own Michael Wilbon. And Michael, thank you for getting up with us here today. And it is hard to believe that it has been 1 year in so many different ways. As you woke up this morning, what were the first thoughts you had relative to Kobe?
Well, Greeny, I started thinking about it, you know, last night as I started reading some pieces about this 1 year anniversary. I guess we have to use that word. And, you know, in this country, we weren't really locked into what was about to happen, COVID, until early March. And so late January, as we were getting ready to cover and indulge in the Super Bowl, this tragedy sent us into despair. And I mean that literally. More so here, but worldwide. But yes, particularly in this country, this plunged us into despair, the death of Kobe and his daughter and all the others. And I don't think we've come out of it. I mean, we've been in it. We've been stuck there, obviously, with the pandemic, but also with this just saddening, this pounding, these deaths of Hall of Fame athletes subsequently. And maybe none of them were as tragic. I think just about, you know, this past few days with Henry Aaron, but at least Henry Aaron had a full life, you know, at 86 years old. Mm-hmm. Kobe Bryant certainly, you know, didn't even have quite half of that. But I just started thinking about the despair that we have been in. And it started with that tragedy to me. That's my time frame. And all these things tend to be personal. And so I've thought about that. I try to think of some happier thoughts. You know, but I was really struck, and it resonated with me, what LeBron and Anthony Davis were talking about, and other Lakers, but particularly them, saying they didn't want to have just public commemorations all the time. And obviously, this stays with them, and they are shaken by it still, a full year later. And I thought that, too. I mean, I know we're going to talk about it. That's our jobs, to talk about it. But we are still in despair. People are still mourning. And so I don't know quite how you handle it, but LeBron and Anthony Davis and their sentiments resonated with me.
Yeah, no question. A lot of people are still having a difficult time with it. And I agree with you that it did set off a year unlike any that we've ever experienced before. But one of the things we can do a year later is try and smile in remembering him. What is a story about Kobe Bryant that you think of that always makes you smile?
There are a few. But one of them, and I talked about it a lot last year in real time, is that, you know, people saw Michael Jordan in tears and just so emotionally overwrought. And he, and speaking at one of the memorials for Kobe Bryant, and Michael rarely does that sort of thing publicly. And people just didn't understand the kind of relationship they had. I got a glimpse, because some of that played out here in Washington when Michael was with the Wizards, both an executive and a player. And when I went to a Lakers game, Kobe, knowing that I had a relationship for a long time with Michael, if he had a big game, you know, 40, 45 points, a triple-double, who knows, when the media is lined up outside the locker room, Kobe would often just drift over if he saw me, and I'd get an elbow in the ribs, and he'd lean over when nobody else could hear and just say, how would the old man have done tonight? How would your boy have done tonight? Would the old man have been able to beat them tonight? Would he have been able to beat whoever fill in the blank? And it was just so, and it was, I asked him, I said, look, can I talk about this on the air now or write about it? And he said, you know, people aren't going to understand. They're going to take it the wrong way. And he was probably right. I knew how he meant it. I knew of the relationship. But it was so funny. This would happen periodically, you know, over the years. How would the old man have done? And, you know, people handle these things differently. But Kobe had such fun with it. And there was such a reverence, not just a friendship, a reverence for his basketball idol. And that I think about that. You know, when you look at these big games, you know, you just had on the screen, the Kyron that said he had 60 points. I wasn't at that game, but there were games like that. And it was one of the first things he's saying. I'd say, yeah, I'm going to call and tell him. He goes, pull out the phone now. Let's call. Let's tell the old man what I did tonight in case he wasn't watching. And Jordan loved it. He just loved it. And people did not realize we weren't in a social media time for most of that, if any of it. And they didn't realize just how much they adored each other.
The level of both competitiveness and respect between the two, I think, was legendary and remains that way. Michael, we appreciate your being with us today to share these memories. It is, of course, a day of solemn remembrance. It's also a day that we can try and celebrate his memory, and we want to do some of that. In the meantime, we figured while we had you, let's try and get into some of the other news of this sports day. And so we will do that here this morning. And let's talk about this guy. His name is Aaron Rodgers. He lost his fourth consecutive conference championship on Sunday and then speculated about his future somewhat openly after the game. And so for those who haven't heard it, I want you to hear Adam Schefter yesterday here on Get Up talking about Rodgers' options now.
He's under contract to the Green Bay Packers for three more seasons. So they control him for three more seasons. Unless Aaron Rodgers says, I'm not going to play there anymore, and I want to be traded. It would take a huge set of cojones to do that. But if that's what he wants to do, that's what he's entitled to do. He didn't pick Green Bay. Green Bay picked him. And now he's at the point in his career, with the way the NFL is set up, that he can pick where he wants to go. And it may be Green Bay. I'm just saying it may be Green Bay.
That was yesterday. Here is today, and we have assembled this group for you here, Michael Wilbon, including, I know how much you love the big swagoo, and so Marcus is here. So the question, Michael, you've seen a lot of crazy things happen in football. I'm not sure what would be crazier than Aaron Rodgers leaving Green Bay during this offseason, but it doesn't feel impossible. What do you think about the situation now with Rodgers and the Packers?
I think it's probable, not impossible. I'm sorry, did Joe Montana leave San Francisco? I mean, he didn't leave in terms of, I don't know that we can say he forced a trade. How miserable does Aaron Rodgers want to make the executive staff in Green Bay? It's not impossible or nearly impossible at all. Now, we don't associate these moves very often with pro football. We associate it more with the NBA. Aaron Rodgers holds way more leverage to me. I mean, Shefty outlined part of it. You can threaten to retire. You can just say, you know what? You pick this player in the draft instead of making other moves. That's your prerogative, and now I want out. So how miserable does he want to make it for others? That doesn't seem to be Aaron Rodgers' way. There are more subtle ways to do it, Greeny. But, I mean, look, I don't want to overreact to what happens in the minutes after a game. I've been in enough locker rooms in my life to know that things simmer down, people change their minds, they get less angry, you know, 2 weeks later, a month later, 3 or 4 months later. But I got to say, when I was watching the postgame and listening to Aaron Rodgers all week talk about mysteries, My reaction is Aaron Rodgers is done in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. He called it a beautiful mystery. It didn't seem so beautiful in those moments after the game Sunday. Swagoo, what do you think?
First of all, what's up, Big Mike? Mike Dub, Will Bond.
Good to see you. Good to be with you guys.
Just my guy. Listen, man, this is for me. Mike just alluded to it, G. Aaron Rodgers has earned the clout to do whatever he wants to do. Now, let me send this PSA out to everybody in the NFL. You can't do this. This is not for you if you've not accomplished and done what Aaron Rodgers has done. Deshaun Watson is in that same category. G, I'm going to take you back for a second. Do you remember when we talked about Zeke Elliott going to Cabo?
Sure.
And I said, Zeke should not return until he has a contract done. That same offseason, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Melvin Gordon was trying to force his way to get a contract with the Chargers. That did not work out. Melvin Gordon found out he did not have that kind of clout in order to go away or say something and get a team to do anything. I think back to when Russell Wilson said, if I don't have a contract, I ain't showing up to Seattle. Only a few guys can do this. We may have two this offseason in Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson who can and have the clout. This ain't for all y'all in the NFL, but these two can do it.
Graz, let's just make sure everyone is clear on what we're talking about here. The Packers are under no obligation to trade him or to do anything, candidly. Right. So he would have to make it a circumstance where they would have no choice, right?
He would. Yeah, he'd have to make it difficult for them. There's no question about it. Can I just real quick, I just want to say how cool it is for me to be on a panel with Michael Wilbon, who's one of the reasons I got into this business. A talk,
that
he gave at Georgetown when I was there a million years ago.
That's kind of it.
Kind
of convinced
me that sports writing
was something to get me up
that
early.
You could do for a living. So, seriously,
appreciate that,
that's a true story, and I appreciate it. But anyway, in terms of Aaron Rodgers, Yes, he would have to force their hand. The Packers did not draft Jordan Love thinking they only had one more year of Aaron Rodgers. So, and it would be very difficult for them financially to move on. But I always think of Sean Connery in The Untouchables. What are you prepared to do? Is Aaron Rodgers prepared to sit out games and convince the Packers he doesn't want to play for them anymore and force their hand? We're speculating off of one post-game comment. It may be that this is nothing, but that's what would have to happen. He would have to force their hand.
So quickly, Michael, to sort of finish up this part of the conversation, if you were to don the the Nostradamus outfit that you guys use on PTI every now and again, your prediction is that he has taken his last snap in green and gold?
I think so. And again, Greeny, I mean, you know, just as we've all said, we understand things change over a period of months. You can repair these things. The divorce proceedings may have started, but we're not there yet. And so I don't know. What percentage chance would I put on it? I don't know. I think I'd go as high as 70% chance that we've seen Aaron Rodgers' last snap in Green Bay. That's coming from a lifelong Bears fan who probably wants to see Aaron Rodgers somewhere else, anywhere else than Green Bay. But the funny thing is, as much as I've been a lifelong Bears fan, as you know, my favorite quarterback for years has been Aaron Rodgers. For years and years and years has been Aaron Rodgers. There's enough that went on last week, including that loss, where he wasn't trusted. His coach took the ball out of his hands and said, we're going to try to win this game some other way. Are you kidding me? That to me is an actual insult, not a perceived one.
Yeah.
And I think he's done there. I think he is.
Michael continues with us in just a moment, and we're talking about other things, including Tom Brady. If you thought Brady was calling it a career after next season, we may have some surprising news for you. Wait till you hear just how long the GOAT intends to go. And Sneaky Hembo wants his crack at Wilbon this morning. Here we go, Michael. We have trivia for you. Tom Brady is one of two quarterbacks to throw for 400 yards in a Super Bowl. He's actually done it twice. Who's the only other quarterback ever to do it? That's the question. The answer is next with Michael Wilbon. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back. Michael Wilbon is our guest today, and Hembo has a question for him. Tom Brady is one of two quarterbacks to throw for 400 yards in a Super Bowl. He's done it twice. Michael, who do you think the only other quarterback ever to do it was?
I've narrowed it down in my head, Greeny, to Steve Young and Doug Williams. I don't know why. I just going through all the list of people, and it had to be one of those blowout games one way or the other. I'm going to say Steve Young over Doug Williams, but those are my two finalists. Am I close?
You're close. I actually guessed Steve Young. The answer is Kurt Warner. I didn't remember that at all. No one in the room got that, actually. The whole room guesses at these every single day. Warner threw for 400 yards against the Titans in Super Bowl 34. He is one of two. The other, as we mentioned, is Tom Brady, who has done it twice. And that doesn't surprise anyone, because what hasn't he accomplished in the Super Bowl? Look at the list. I mean, it's just ridiculous of all the things that he has done there. But I want you to hear what Jeff Darlington, our insider who's very tight with Brady, said on my radio show the other day when I asked him, how long should we expect Brady to keep this thing going? Listen.
In his mind, I know that he doesn't think that next year is going to be it for him. He's going to play out his contract with the Bucs. Where he goes from there remains to be seen. In the past, the fact that we've thought about him retiring at 45 in part had to do with family reasons. His family is very happy in Tampa right now. It would not surprise me at all if he plays not next year, but also the year after that as well.
So again, Michael Wilbon is with us in Swagoo, and Jeff Saturday, who admitted today that he has actually started rooting for Brady, which is the most stunning development of this day. But Michael, I'll start with you. He's talking about him playing at 45 years old. What is this? What is going on? How is Tom Brady doing this? How do you put it in perspective?
I don't. There's nothing else to compare it to. It's not comparable to George Blando or anything. It's not. There's nothing we've seen like this, and why not? Why not play until they tear the uniform off you, right? And Jeff and Marcus know about that feeling. Play until they have to carry you out. I don't mean that literally in his case, but tear the uniform off, sure. Yeah. But there's nothing. What else could you compare this to? Especially in a contact sport. I'm not going to compare it to boxing, which has gotten too circus-like, you know, over the last, you know, I don't know, 25, 30 years now. Maybe somebody else has an analogy, Greeny. I don't have one. I'm amazed. Father Time does win. But, man, Brady is holding Father Time off for longer than any of us except him could have thought reasonable.
Yeah, when Jeff Saturday, when your guy Peyton Manning started his last Super Bowl, he was 39. At that point, he was the oldest starting quarterback in Super Bowl history. Brady has since surpassed that four different times. And this is his fifth Super Bowl in 7 years. He's not slowing down. How long do you think he can do it?
Yeah, I think 3 to 5. And it sounds so crazy when you think about this, but this guy just continues to amaze you. I mean, and again, I made a joke about it before, but I don't know if it's avocado ice cream or what, the TB12 diet, whatever it is, but I wish I would have gotten some of it in my 30s as well, because what he's doing is just remarkable. And again, I love what Wilbon just said. You can't compare it to anything. That was part of my argument against the whole GOAT kind. Like, what he's doing is setting standards like we have never seen before. And again, this year alone, he has converted Tampa Bay from a 7-9 to Super Bowl. And listen, I'm not saying that none of the 52 guys contributed, but what he brings everyone else's play to a level that surpasses what your expectations would be. It has been remarkable to watch. It has been impressive. And again, I went from a guy I hated and I hoped he lost every game to actually pulling for the guy, which again is – you know, I'm an embarrassment to Colts Nation. I get it. I mean, but what else can I say at this point?
Just to put this in perspective, Marcus, how old are you?
37.
Marcus is 37 years old. Tom Brady is 6 years older than you are. You've been working with me for 3 years. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yep. Listen, number one, Jeff, I don't know where this soft stuff coming from. You ain't ever supposed to root for Tom Brady. I don't give a damn what he doing. You can have respect for his career, but you ain't supposed to root for him. The second thing is, look, y'all, Tom Brady is Benjamin Button, okay? He's aging in reverse. That's why he's beating Father Time. If you look at his picture from his rookie year to right now, he's a better-looking man. Right. I see why Giselle did her thing and got with Tom Brady. Third of all, he a Disney character. He keep winning. We all know how the movie plays out. They change palaces. They go to a different city. Still the same result. I'm still the prince. I got the princess. Big palace. We going to be the king and queen one day. Here's the thing, though. I believe that 45 will be the ceiling. I think that is just a number that Tom Brady would like. He'll like to finish in Tampa, see if he can run it back. They in the Super Bowl. But we all, listen, I know we all sitting here today. They play the Chiefs. I'm going to just put that out there. They play the Chiefs, who we all think are going to win the Super Bowl. I don't care if you pick Tampa. You still think the damn Chiefs going to win the Super Bowl. So he may want to come running back. But 45 going to be the number. Tom Brady will be out of here at 45. It's been amazing. Look, we do all the documentaries. We're going to be on some special talking about Tom Brady and what he did throughout his career.
G, you'll do a special. All you know, you Northwestern guys, y'all always get called for the specials, the big time stuff in media.
Right.
So when Brady Dunn and he retires, y'all get ready for that windfall of cash for people calling y'all to come speak on Tom Brady's behalf and his career. Tom Brady retired 45 so Will Bunn and Gene could get some more millions of dollars to do their job, please.
Greeny, can I jump in here for a second?
Yeah,
so Marcus, 37, sneaky young. He's got eligibility left. Come on now, you can get those avocado shakes going. You got some time left. Your body feels all healed up and you're ready to go, right?
Mike, they don't put red jerseys on us in practice, man. We always get
right.
Always.
Michael, we have to let you go. On behalf of all of us, thank you. I know you don't do this often. Thank you very much for getting up with us today. We'll see you again soon. Thank you, my friend.
Much respect.
I appreciate you guys. Much appreciation for having me on this morning. Thank you.
The best. Michael Wilbon, thank you. Of course, PTI later today and everything else. Meanwhile, we got an NBA doubleheader tomorrow night on ESPN. LeBron and the Lakers in Philly to take on Embiid and the Sixers. Then you're going to get D'Angelo Russell and the T-Wolves against Steph and Golden State. Coverage begins with Stephen A's pregame sports center at 7 Eastern. As we roll on, a Packer legend weighs in on the future of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Where do you hear what Brett Favre has to say? You will next. Get up on ESPN.